The Lord's Prayer. I call it the prayer of the passion, the suffering of Christ. It's the prayer that we probably know the most. It's the prayer we usually have learned earliest in life. But it's often the prayer that we sometimes don't even know the best. So for that purpose, this Lenten season of the church, let's take a moment to re-acclimate ourselves to this big prayer in our lives, this important prayer in our lives. Last week, we remembered we begun this series recalling who we were praying to, God our Father. And thus, we start this intimate relationship calling our God our Father, for he hears our prayer. Tonight, we begin with the first prayer, actually, first petition, you'd call it, of this prayer. In fact, the Lord's Prayer is combined of actually seven different prayers, all in this one prayer. So tonight we pray, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Well, of course, we don't speak like this anymore, right? If we were, we would be like old English people back in like the Middle Ages, King James Version of the Bible, Hallowed. Maybe we might hear it around Halloween time, where it's All Hallows' Eve. What exactly does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. So let's take a look. Well, if we're asking that question, what does this mean? We as people maybe growing up in the Lutheran church, it's a famous question we ask and are told when we break out this thing. Luther's Small Catechism. It's a basic instruction manual as the head of the household should teach their child. As he says, Hallowed be thy name, what does this mean? God's name is certainly holy in itself. But we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. So we're not praying for something that isn't already in existence, right? God's name is holy in itself without us even praying. But we're praying for this because we need to realize who's in control. Now, this is a big word. Before we even go any further, what does holy mean? We hear it all the time in church. It's another one of those big fancy church words. Things are holy. What does holy even mean, Pastor? Anybody want to raise their hand, take a crack at, what does holy mean? We got a couple, some wise wisdom in back. Yes. Without sin. It's as basic as you can get. That's correct. That's a good answer. Without sin. Without any separation from God. To set it apart for that special purpose. To anoint it. To be kept holy. Okay, so Luther continues, how is God's name kept holy? How? Well, he says God's name is kept holy without sin when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. Imagine that, when we're saying this prayer, we're saying all this at once, that we're praying for his word to be taught by us purely and rightly, and also that we will in turn lead holy lives according to his name. And we pray, help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Now, that's a mouthful in itself that you almost have to read that to understand. When we say God's name is holy, so many things at play here that we're acknowledging that God's word is to be taught and that we're going to follow God's word because of his name. Now, we got to slow down again. That's a lot of stuff. So let's first talk about what's in a name. We're asking for God's name to be kept holy, right? What's in a name? Why are even names significant? For me, I think that's one of the things I delight in is finding out people's names because names have meaning. For me personally, I delight, my name is Aaron. It's not just Pastor. You can call me Pastor Aaron, but my name's Aaron. Why would I love that? Well, it's a biblical name, right? It's the name of Moses' older brother, Aaron. It's a Hebrew name, and its meaning in Hebrew means a high mountain or mountain of strength or the exalted one. For me, that just builds up my personality and my ego. I'm an exalted one. I'm named after the high priest of Israel. It was my mom and dad naming me Aaron probably prepared me to become a pastor in one way or another, maybe. Funny thing, my last name, very hard to mispronounce, very German, Burst, like burst a bubble. I always love finding out what that means. I had to look it up in some German, and it means literally bristle. Someone even said a brush, like something really prickly. And in one way or another, it translates into someone with an aggressive personality. So hopefully I don't get too aggressive, but names have meaning. So think of it this way. Like if I came up to you and called you by your wrong name, like, right, George? Or what if I came up to you and called you Sally, and you're not even a woman? That would cause some problems, right? So names are important. We try to learn people's names because they say something about their personality. Just like our family name, just like your personal name. You look at people's last names that usually told what their genealogies, their ancestors did for a living even. People that were Smiths were usually blacksmiths or something of that. What about God? Why is his name so important that we have to pray that it be kept holy? God's name. Why do we even have it as a second commandment to keep the Lord's God and his name from being misused even? Well, let's talk about that. We can find out God's name in the Bible. God has a name, actually. We learn this from Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is going to God and he's wondering, well, if I go to the Israelites and they ask me, like, who is this God that's telling me to lead them out of Egypt? What should I say, Lord? God said to Moses, that very famous passage, if you are, maybe you can speak it in the voice of Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Now, if you're reading that and hearing that in English, that sounds weird. That's a name. I am who I am. That's bizarre. And usually when you read that in your Bibles in English, it turns out to be that capital L-O-R-D, Lord. That's where it pops up. But when you learn the original languages that the Bible was written in, the Old Testament, Hebrew, anybody speak or read Hebrew in here? I had to learn it. I'm not even that great at it. I kind of forgot a lot of it. But in the Hebrew, yeah, right? Yahweh. It's not my way, it's Yahweh. Yahweh. Hebrew doesn't even use vowels, but when you add it all together, it's not Jehovah, it's not Adonai, it's not Lord, it's Yahweh. It's an actual name. And when you translate that name, it means, I always was, I am now, and I always will be. That's what it means. I am who I am. I am the Lord. I always was. I am now for you, and I will be in the future. So why is that important? Why should we keep that name holy? In fact, we should actually use that more often. We like to call his name God or the Lord. Let's call him Yahweh, if that's his name. Some people actually were scared to use his name because they didn't want to misuse it. So that's why we do call him Lord. But what about his name? We hear it often in Scripture. Like, here's another instance. In Exodus chapter 6, we're trolling along in this book. Again, God said to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your forefathers, as, all caps, God Almighty. This is the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of all armies of the world. He is what we call omnipotent. Fancy Greek word that just means all-powerful. That's our God. That's what his name means. Again, God said to Moses, I will proclaim before you my name. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Packed into God's name is his character. He's gracious. He has mercy upon those that love him and he loves. Again, God's name tells us, he says that when God came down a second time to Moses on Mount Sinai, the first thing he did was declare his name. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, wickedness, and transgression and sin. Packed into God's name is his character of being patient. That's why we're praying so often for his name to be kept holy. Thank God that he's patient with us. How often have we prayed prayers that we didn't actually mean? Or sent up prayers knowing that we would just do the opposite? But when you say the Lord's Prayer and we ask for his name to be kept holy, we're praying that he's patient with us. Again, God declares his name on Mount Sinai, you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous. He is a jealous God. Now, again, English-speaking people like us here in Wisconsin, in America, jealousy doesn't seem like a good thing, does it? It's not a good personality trait to be jealous. For God to be called jealous means that he doesn't tolerate when people will run after anything else but him. We call them spiritual prostitutes. And sometimes that's what we do. Every single one of us, whether we believe it or not, when we put anything, anybody, as more important than God. Now that seems like a hard thing to grasp. How can that happen? God is God. He will always be my God. Not when we're stressing about money all the time. Not when we're stressing about our futures all the time. Not when we're always thinking about that special loved one in our family all the time. When we give them all our time. When we devote our whole week, even on Sunday, to sports. All of a sudden, sports become our God. All of a sudden, money becomes our God. All of a sudden, a person might become our God because that's who we put our trust in. And then all of a sudden, we make God jealous for us because he wants us still. It's a good character of God because it means that he is still in love with you. And he can't stand to have anybody else have your attention. And that's all packed in his name. And that's why his name should be kept holy. And lastly, when you turn all the way back to the final book of the Bible, we hear this image of new life, a new heavens, a new earth for all eternity. St. John recalls, and he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." In his name, again, harkens back that he always was and he always will be. He is the beginning and the end. He is the very first letter of the alphabet, Alpha in the Greek language, A to Z, to Omega. He will be there in the beginning of your life. He will oversee your life, and he'll be there for you in the end. And that's what we mean when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." So think about that. And think about that when we're about to utter a word that might go contrary to his name. Sometimes we do it without thinking. You might hear somebody write, OMG, oh my God. Do you mean that? Are you praying right now? Because if you're not, don't ask or don't call on God's name if you don't mean it. For us, when we speak God's name, when we call him Lord, when we call him God Almighty, maybe if you call him Yahweh, if you call him Jesus, remember that his name is holy. Remember that he is patient. Remember that he is all-powerful. He can accomplish everything you're praying for. Remember that he is jealous for you. He can't stand to have you looking at anybody or anything else. But most of all, he is going to be there for you in the end. That's our God. And that's the God that we have throughout this season of Lent as we grow closer to him and that we pray that his will be done because his name is holy. So once more, God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught and that we lead holy lives according to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the better we know the name of God, just like our names, the more we will trust in him. And the more that we trust in him, the more risks that we will take for the sake of his glory. And the more risks that we take and that we're willing to take, the more bold we will be with our faith. And the less dependent on material things in our life. And the more ready we will be to volunteer for active duty on God's front lines. Because there are people that are hurting for God and need God, and they're dependent upon you. There's somebody in your life, maybe just one person that you even know that only you can reach for you to act like God for them. You may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. So keep that in mind when we pray, as we do always this prayer. Once more we pray, hallowed be thy name. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts, minds, and the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.